These Private Stars by For Feck's Sake, Jim. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. The snow hadn't yet fallen on New York, but the December wind cut sharp enough to make Jim pull his threadbare coat tighter around himself as he hurried down Orchard Street. The Lower East Side bustled with activity, vendors calling out in Yiddish and English, the smell of fresh bagels and pickled herring mixing with coal smoke from the tenements above. A group of children played marbles on a stoop nearby, chattering excitedly about the dreidel games they would play that evening when Hanukkah began. Jim paused at a cart selling hot chestnuts, the warmth reminding him of the way Spock's hands felt in his, always running a few degrees warmer than human normal. He thought of his husband back in their small apartment, carefully maintaining his composure, despite the cold that affected him more deeply than he would admit. The separation of pretending to be merely roommates in public wore on them both, but it was particularly difficult for Spock, whose Vulcan heritage emphasized the importance of honesty, which, in their current situation, meant necessary deception. "You seem lost, mister," came a familiar voice. Jim turned to find Edith Keeler watching him with that knowing smile of hers, the one that always made him wonder how much she truly understood about him and Spock. "Not lost exactly," Jim replied, returning her smile. "Just looking for something specific." "Ah, for tonight? The first night of Hanukkah," she said, eyes sparkling. "I noticed your window's been dark, and with sunset coming earlier now." She trailed off meaningfully, eyes glancing up at the sun as it slowly began to sink behind the buildings of the city. Jim hesitated, weighing his words carefully. He paused, faltering as Edith's gaze grew lighter. "We left ours behind when we moved here." The lie felt bitter on his tongue, but it was better than explaining he traveled centuries into the past, or that they didn't seem to have much between the two of them to begin with. "Spock's especially been missing it," he added softly, thinking of how his husband had been quietly preparing for the holiday, ensuring that they had what they needed, despite their circumstances. How he cleaned and busied himself around their flop, as if in the same breath he could distract himself from the spreading of holiday cheer that had begun to surround them. Edith's expression softened. "Come with me. I know just the place." She led him down a narrow side street, past windows where families were beginning to prepare for the evening celebration. The street signs were in both English and Yiddish, and elderly men in black coats and hats walked purposefully past them, their beards frosted with the cold, and paper-wrapped parcels held tight against their side. They stopped at a small Judaica shop wedged between a bookstore and a tailor. The bell above the door chimed as they entered, bringing with it the scent of beeswax and old books. An elderly man looked up from behind the counter where he was arranging a display of dreidels, his eyes sharp and kind behind wire-rimmed spectacles. The walls were lined with shelves holding everything from prayer books to ritual objects, and strings of brass menorahs hung from the ceiling like metallic stars. "Mr. Leibowitz," Edith called out warmly, "my friend here needs a Hanukkah before sunset." "Cutting it close, aren't we, son?" he said with a gentle smile, his accent a mixture of Eastern European and New York. "For yourself and your roommate, yes," the tall gentleman with the cap, who never seems to feel warm enough. At Jim's startled look, he chuckled. "This is a small neighborhood, young man. I've seen you both at the market." Jim nodded, touched by the discretion and kindness in the old man's tone. He spoke to him as if they were not even strangers, but had known each other for decades. Mr. Leibowitz disappeared into the back and returned with several menorahs, placing them carefully on the counter. "These are all good pieces, made in Poland. My brother sends them." Jim's fingers traced over the simple brass designs, thinking of his mother's stories about her own family's celebrations, stories he'd shared with Spock during their first year together. He thought, too, of Spock's quiet explanations of how his mother had helped him blend Vulcan holiday practices with Jewish traditions, creating something unique and beautiful in their household, how her humanity and his Vulcan upbringing had merged in ways that made Spock who he was today. His hand stopped on a modest piece, well-crafted but not ornate. The base was decorated with a subtle pattern of gold-dusted stars that reminded him of the view from the Enterprise while in orbit around a star or planet, or when docked at a station for repairs or supplies. "This one," he said softly, fingers softly tracing the stars as if by doing so he could touch the real thing. Mr. Leibowitz nodded approvingly. "A good choice. Simple, but it holds the light well. The pattern is called Stars of Night. Appropriate for those who feel far from home, yes?" He began wrapping it in brown paper, his movements precise and practiced. "You will need candles, too, of course, and perhaps a box of matches. For the first night, you'll want two candles, one for the shamash and one to begin your 8 nights of light." As Jim reached for his carefully counted money, Edith placed her hand over his. "Let me," she said, "consider it a welcome gift for you and Mr. Spock." Jim started to protest, but she shook her head. "Times are hard enough. Everyone deserves some light in their lives." She paused, then added with gentle emphasis, "Everyone deserves to feel at home, even when they're far from where they started." Mr. Leibowitz added a small bag of chocolate gelt to the package with a wink. "A gift," he said, "for your friend with the cold hands. Sometimes sweetness helps with homesickness. And what better way to start the Festival of Lights?" Walking back to the apartment, the wrapped menorah tucked safely under his arm and candles in his pocket, Jim felt a warmth that had nothing to do with the weak winter sun. He climbed the creaking stairs, already imagining Spock's reaction, the subtle softening around his eyes that only Jim could read, the way his hands would carefully examine the craftsmanship, the quiet appreciation of being able to properly observe the holiday traditions of both their peoples. He found himself remembering his mother's voice, singing the blessings in the gathering darkness of an Iowa winter, intertwined now in his memory with Spock's perfect pitch, chanting the same words, and wondered if perhaps here, in this temporary shelter they called home, they could create something familiar for them both, a light to guide them through their unexpected journey through time. Jim climbed the final flight of stairs to their apartment, his heart beating a little faster with each step. The package felt warm against his side, despite the December chill that had followed him inside. He paused at their door, fishing for his key, while balancing the wrapped menorah carefully in his other arm. The apartment was warm when he entered. Spock must have been tending to the small stove they'd been fortunate enough to have in their temporary home. His husband stood by the window, hands clasped behind his back in his familiar pose, watching the early winter sunset paint the sky in shades of blue and gold. He turned at Jim's entrance, one eyebrow raising slightly at the package under Jim's arm. Jim started, suddenly feeling inexplicably nervous. "I got something for us." He moved to the small table they used for meals, carefully unwrapping the brown paper package. The brass menorah caught the last rays of sunlight from the window, the star pattern on its base, casting tiny reflections on the worn wooden surface. Spock moved closer, his steps measured but quick in a way that Jim recognized his barely contained emotion. His fingers, when they reached out to touch the menorah, trembled slightly. "Jim," he said softly, reverently. His voice carried the weight of memories. His mother lighting candles in their home on Vulcan. The careful adaptation of traditions to suit both his heritages. The yearly celebration that had always served as a reminder that light could persist even in the darkest of places. "Edith helped me find it," Jim explained, pulling out the candles and matches. "There's this shop run by a Mr. Leibowitz. He seemed to understand somehow about us, about needing something familiar." Spock's fingers traced the pattern of stars. and Jim watched as his husband's eyes softened in that particular way that meant he was deeply moved. "My mother," Spock said quietly, "had one very similar to this, the stars." He paused, collecting himself. "She said they reminded her that no matter where we were in the galaxy, we shared the same light." Jim reached out, letting his fingers brush against Spock's in a subtle Vulcan kiss. "I know we have to be careful here, that we can't be who we really are to the outside world, but I thought, in our own home, even if it's temporary, we could have this. We could have our traditions." Home. This was what this was now, for however short a time frame of forever there would be here. This was slowly becoming their home. The menorah was proof of it. "Our traditions," Spock repeated softly. And Jim heard in those two words everything that he couldn't openly express. The appreciation for how they'd woven together their different backgrounds. The comfort of maintaining these rituals, even centuries from their own time. The profound love that had brought them together across the vastness of space, and now time itself. The sun was nearly set now, and Jim watched as Spock began to move with purpose, clearing a space by the window where the menorah would be visible but not too conspicuous. His movements were precise, reverent, as he arranged everything just so. Some habits, Jim thought fondly, transcended both time and species. Spock's attention to ritual detail was as much Vulcan as it was human, and it was entirely perfectly him. "Shall we?" Jim asked softly, as the last of the daylight faded, holding out the first candle. Together they would light the shamash, and they would welcome the first night of Hanukkah in this strange time and place that they were slowly, carefully making into a home. They watched as the light flickered, the street lights turning on in the city below them as the snow began to fall, the windows frosting over as their breath fogged the glass before them. Spock's hand reached out, fingers sinking and intertwining with Jim's, as he allowed his body to shift, to lean into Jim's side as he allowed his eyes to close softly. Jim squeezed his hand, the table high enough that the action would not be visible to the street below and to any passers-by who just so happened to look up at their window. He looked down both sides of the street and noticed with a soft smile that it was deserted. Jim turned to face his husband, the glow of the Hanukkah candles cast a warm halo around Spock's features, softening the severe lines he maintained in public. Here, in their private sanctuary, Spock allowed his carefully constructed walls to lower, if only slightly. "Thank you," Spock murmured, his voice barely above a whisper. The words held more in weight than their simplicity suggested. Gratitude not just for the menorah, but for understanding, for bringing this piece of home to their temporary exile. Jim pulled him away from the window, their chests pressed against the other as he reached up, warm fingers ghosting over Spock's cheek in the way he'd learned that the Vulcan loved, but could rarely indulge in outside these walls. Their lips met in a gentle kiss, tender and unhurried. The familiar sensation of Spock's mental presence brushed against his consciousness, warm and bright as the candles themselves. In moments like these, the distance from their own time seemed to matter less. The kiss deepened slightly, both of them savoring the rare moment of complete honesty. No pretense of being merely roommates. No careful distance maintained for suspicious eyes. Just them. Their shared faith. And the love that had carried them across the stars and now through time itself. When they finally parted, Spock rested his forehead against Jim's, a gesture so intimate in both their cultures. The sound of children laughing floated up from the street below, along with the distant strains of a Hanukkah song from another window. The familiar holiday melody mingled with the soft crackle of the burning pine cone and herbs in their small stove, creating a cocoon of warmth around them. "You have made a home here," Spock said softly, his dark eyes reflecting the candlelight, "even if it is temporary." Jim smiled. stealing one more quick kiss before they would need to step apart to maintain their careful charade, should anyone still see them. "We've made it home," he corrected gently. "Together." The end.